Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is November 7th, and our reading comes from Hebrews chapter 8. Once again, let me just remind you, the book of Hebrews is trying to help all of us understand that what Jesus has come to accomplish, the new covenant, this new relationship with God that is available to us because of what Christ has done, is superior to Judaism or any kind of religious system or any works or anything that we would try to do to earn a relationship with God. And the author of Hebrews is explaining to us, helping us to understand the richness, the depth of the gospel, all that Jesus has done and all that that affords us. So chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Here's the main point. We have a high priest, that's Jesus, who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. So what he just said there is that Jesus is in heaven. He is our high priest, so he's representing us before the Father. But here's the thing that really jumped out to me today, is it says that we have a high priest who sat down. In other words, it is finished. In John chapter 19, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and as he takes his last breath, he declares, "It is finished. The work is done. The price has been paid. The kingdom of God is now available to all of us." And here's the deal. If Jesus sat down, we should sit down. If Jesus stopped working, if Jesus finished the job, then we need to stop working. We need to sit down, and we need to learn to enjoy all that he's done for us. Again, that's what captures our hearts. And when our heart gets captured, what happens? When we love him, we'll obey his commandments. Remember in John 14, Jesus three different times says, "If you love me, then you will obey my commandments." Well, the way that we fall in love with Jesus is seeing, understanding the depth of his love, all that he's done for us. And when we understand how much he loves us, we can't help but love him back. And when we love Jesus, we're glad to obey and to follow him. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, "They serve a system of worship that's only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven." So all of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. The whole sacrificial system, the priesthood, all of that is pointing to the coming Messiah. And now that Jesus has come, we don't need the picture, we don't need the shadow, we don't need the metaphor anymore. We have the real thing. We have the person of Jesus. Verse 7, "If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, 'The day is coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah.'" So what is it that he found fault with? It was our inability to live a holy life. It was our inability to be transformed. It was our inability to reflect in the world the glory of our King. So what did God do about this? Well, down in verse 10, watch this. It says, "This new covenant I'll make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins." Oh my goodness, I love that. I love that. Listen, "I'll never again remember their sins." Stop trying to remind God of what he's already forgiven. I love that song. I don't know if you've ever heard it where the person is reminding God of his sin and God says, "What sin?" Because God has chosen to remember our sin no more. Why would he do that? Because Jesus has already paid for our sin, right? So the debt has been paid, paid in full. It is finished. So he is remembering our sin no more. Now, this new covenant, what I love about it is the key to the new covenant is oneness. See, the old covenant, the people of God were separated from the presence of God. In this new covenant, his spirit has been united with our spirit. We've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's not living in a temple anymore. God's come to live in us. I am the temple. You are the temple. It's that oneness. So what he says is, I'm going to put my law, I'm going to write it on their minds and in their hearts. I'm going to be their God. They'll be my people. He's describing this oneness. See, the Christian life is learning to live in the presence of God. And as we are with Jesus, as we're learning to live in his presence and cultivate that relationship, guess what? We are becoming like him. He's transforming us from the inside out. He's fulfilling the law in us. I love this. Jesus came to do in us all that he expects of us, and then one day will reward us for what he produced. Man, our God is good. That is so generous. It's amazing. And that's the gospel. So what we're learning is to rest in grace, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his love, to live in his presence. And as we're opening the word, and this is what we're trying to do every day, is we're trying to bring our thinking, we're trying to bring our emotions, we're trying to bring our relationships, we're trying to bring our perspective, we're trying to bring our decisions, we're trying to bring everything into submission to the Lordship of Christ and in submission to the Word of God so that our life begins to reflect who he is. And as we do, guess what? We discover that's the best possible life we can live. We begin to experience, we begin to live the way we were actually designed. So in this chapter today, he's describing that this new covenant is not another religious system. It's a union. We've become one with God. He's come to live inside of us. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much. The new covenant is so glorious. You've come to live inside of us. And you did everything necessary to make that possible. You sent your son who gave his life to pay for our sin. And by faith in Christ, you've washed us clean and placed your spirit in us. You've put your law in our mind, in our hearts. You are with us. You are our God. And as we're learning, growing in our capacity to live in your presence, you're producing new life in us. So God, we just open our hearts today to receive all that you have for us. God, we bring our thinking and our relationships, our perspective, our understanding, our will, our future. God, we just submit it all to you. You are our King. We declare, Lord, we want to live for your glory. God, it's all you. You can have it all. It's for you, Lord. And we ask you to produce your life in us, Lord, that our life would reflect who you are in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me again. Hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.